It's Magnum Podcast. Surprise! I'm Jason Snell, and joined as always by David J. Lohr and Philip Michaels. Hi, guys.
Oh my God, I didn't prepare anything.
No, I'm just happy that the Warner Brothers guy let us out of the vault, because I understand we were going to be totally destroyed.
David
for tax
Zaslav.
Purposes.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we're tiny. We are toony.
Mm-hmm.
We're all together loony.
Mm. Yes, we are.
We were,
etc.
We are here.
I was sharing a cell with the coyote. It was terrible.
This is a very special episode of Magnum Podcast because we're not going to talk about an episode of Magnum PI. We've got some.
Are we talking about Rockford Files?
No, we're not talking about an episode at all. We do have multiple topics.
Okay.
But I'd like to start this special episode with the inciting letter. It comes from listener David, not David J. Lohr, listener David P., who writes, "Hi, guys, I have really enjoyed the show. I binged it starting in late 23.
It's David P. Lohr.
No. And got caught up.
He has a goatee.
Just after the last season ended, I have an unopened pack of Magnum PI trading cards with one stick of gum. I think they were sold around 1981. My buddy gave it to me 20 years ago. They are tucked away in a drawer. If you or the listeners want, I would be happy to open them to see if we get anything good. I'll be listening." I suggested to David that he open the pack and take pictures, and that we would then look at his pictures and be surprised and go on a journey about Magnum PI trading cards. Now, I do have, I was just
we also suggested he eat the gum, and now he's dead.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Now, sorry, David.
I was reminded before the show by David J. Lohr that I, in fact, had completely forgotten that in 2015, 9 years ago, I went on eBay and for $20, I bought two semi-complete lots of Magnum PI trading cards and and gave them to both of you gentlemen as Christmas presents.
That is correct.
The Donruss trading cards.
And in fact, when we got this this email, my first thought was, oh, like the trading cards that Jason got us. And yet never mentioned it to anyone.
Yeah,
which might have been sitting right on my bookshelf, like, you know,
see?
3 feet away from me.
I didn't
all
keep
this
any
time
for myself. It was a lot of two, and I just sent them to you guys because I thought that would be a delightful little Christmas present.
And indeed it was.
And then I promptly forgot about it because I didn't keep any of those things for myself. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so maybe this will just be more of an adventure for me than for you. But I think it's funny because it, as the opening of the pack, which we're all looking at now, a little screen share, and I'll put these on the on the website, and if you are listening on a podcast player that supports chapter art, you can see them as the chapters as we go. You can just bring out your phone and look at them there. But it's eight full color cards. Eight.
If I can kind of bring up some delightful backstory.
Yes, please.
Yes, yes.
This was at a time when the trading cards industry really moved into
pop
lots of things that weren't just sports.
Yeah, Star Wars cards were huge.
And in fact, I used to collect the Empire Strikes Back series.
I had a box full of Star Wars cards, and they came in different colors. So, like, they would get through the blue series, and then they would start the green series.
Mm-hmm.
And you had the different, and you try to get them all in absolute.
Oh, and
I spent so much money on Star Wars
too.
Cards.
They had like, here's what Cloud City should look like, and artist rendering. And I'm like, oh, yeah, baby. Mm-hmm.
And for a long time, like, I would get cards, and I would chew the gum. The gum was terrible.
Gum.
No,
and my mother kept saying, why are you chewing the
gum? It's fine
because
gum,
I bought it.
The gum loses its flavor after about 30 seconds. And then you
after it pierces a hole in your cheek.
Yep.
Like the cards continue to smell like bubble gum for a while, and the bubble gum just tastes like card.
Had Indiana Jones trading cards, too.
Yep. They're not as successful as the Star Wars cards were.
Not as successful because, like, really, children gathering packs of Nazi cards.
Yeah, that's right.
It was a little odd.
Hey, this is Tote's face melting. Yay!
Now, the only other complete set of cards I ever managed to do, and I did it by myself, just collecting all the cards, was the A-Team.
Mm.
And I can't remember if they were Donruss or Topps, but they did the same kind of thing where a portion of the series would be a story, and then after a while, the backs of the cards became a puzzle that you could put together to make a poster to hang on your wall. And so I still have those somewhere. But the earliest ones I ever got, back in 1977, I don't know why. I don't know why they even made them. I had maybe a third of the complete set of Three's Company.
Three's Company.
Oh my cards.
Goodness. Did they have to issue a new set every time the blonde lady got replaced on the show?
No, they never made more. So they only did it for like the first season. And it's like half of them are just the PR shots.
I would have assumed that it was like the $6 million man or something. Not Three's Company.
Yeah, right? It makes no sense.
One other trading card note before I totally derail this podcast.
I was going to say, even at the age of six, I had a thing for Suzanne Summers. What can I say? So,
I get the Thigh Master herself.
Now, the $6 million man action figure, that, you know.
Okay.
Anyway. That was a thing.
I just wanted to say, I also at the time was collecting these NFL trading cards. I forget whether it was Topps or whomever, but they didn't have the license for the league and somehow airbrushed all the logos off the helmets. So it would be the 49ers, but it would just be this pewter helmet instead of the one with the logo, or the Rams, but it's a blue helmet with no yellow swirl on it. It was really weird. I wish I still had those, because they're delightful in their crappiness.
Now I can give a little expert commentary here, thanks to the Trading Card Database, the Bible of the Trading Card Podcast that we've become.
Yes.
It has an extensive section.
The Magnum Media people are screaming, apostate at you. There's only one true living word.
This is Apocrypha. How about that?
Okay, sure. The Book of Judith or what have you.
It has an extensive non-sports section. So I can tell you that these were from 1983. Mm-hmm. They do have the complete set there as a slideshow. They have the fronts and the backs. A third of the cards, and we'll get into it when we get into the cards, but a third of them tell a story. I'm going to assume it's not a great story. And then the other two-thirds are, once again, puzzles that you can put together with your favorite Magnum cast members.
Wow.
To hang on your wall.
So David, does this let's say you have a set of Magnum PI cards lying around because some generous dude gave them to you. Mm-hmm. Can I fund my retirement with these cards?
Let me tell you, I am looking on eBay at a listing for the complete card set, which is one more than you guys have, for $18.
I've got a.
You know, I can live very frugally, Jason. So maybe. Maybe that will fund my retirement.
Here is a Magnum PI bubblegum trading cards 36 count box.
Yeah, sealed box for $130. But sealed. Box.
No, this one is $259.99.
Oh yeah, see, I mean, yeah, once they're sealed, and that's why I want to thank a listener, David, not David J. Lore, for opening his sealed package of Magnum PI cards, which we're going to now look at.
Well, yes. An unopened pack is $5.01.
There you go.
On eBay.
$5 value. Thank you, David P. Lore. Wherever you are. L-O-R-E.
In the mirror universe.
The tale of
it's
David P.
It's the mirror universe.
We begin with the opening wrapper. It is Magnum P.I. Bubblegum Cards. They have commissioned artwork here. It is a comic book style illustration of the ghostly figure, prefiguring Magnum becoming a ghost later in the show.
Yeah.
Appearing above the Ferrari.
Maybe they saw this pack of cards and said, this gives me an idea for the season six mm-hmm. finale.
The Ferrari has a roof, has the top on it, which is also not, I think, canonical.
It's not Jake.
No.
Or the Fat Man.
Anyway, the other side is, because this is Donruss, so it's distributed by the Donruss Company. Donruss, Phil will back me up on this, maker of the worse baseball cards than Topps. They were the baseball cards and you'd go, oh boy, baseball cards. And then they would be Donruss or and there was Fleer. That was also not a great brand.
Fleer was better. Fleer was better than Donruss.
Yeah. Donruss was the worst and they had the worst gum.
Yeah.
But they did make Super Bubble Gum, which.
Longer bubbles. Larger bubbles.
Larger bubbles.
Good. I like Super
had a long bubble.
And you see that logo and you go, oh, well, then at least the gum will be good. No.
Memphis, Tennessee, the home of Donruss. I wonder if the Donruss building is still standing in Memphis, Tennessee. I'll check it out. when I visit Memphis next, which will be in a few days. So yes. that'll be quite a thing. All right, moving on. The next picture.
Oh.
It has been opened.
That's the back of a card.
It's an
that
M.
Is not that one. Which one? See, now I'm just shuffling through to find.
Don't do it, David. You're spoiling it. We're going on a journey here where we look at these pictures.
That's right.
Okay. So then now it's open. Here we go. First card is more of a, well, it's a blue thing. That's a shoulder or a hat or I don't even know what, and an M.
This very much looks like a cast photo that's been cut up. Mm-hmm. Is going to be my guess. That's, off
this is your
off
collect
the
them all and make a puzzle.
That's the poster
the
for your
on the
your
back
bed,
side.
Bedroom wall.
On the front side, our first card is the Robin 1 license plate.
Oh man, what kid doesn't dream of having a picture of a license plate to show to all his friends?
Yeah,
no, it really is a Ferrari. I swear it's a Ferrari.
And the bumper of the Ferrari.
Ironically, if you stick that in between the spokes of your bicycle, it makes a Ferrari noise as you go.
I don't think that's ironic. I think that's just
that,
legit.
That's intentional. That's
Which brings
bonus.
Me to a segment I like to call, Did Jason See a Magnum PI Ferrari This Weekend? One of our segments in this special episode. The answer is yes, friends. Yes, my wife and I were driving on a Sunday morning to Oakland, and I noticed that in front of us was a red Ferrari. So Lauren was driving. She was very nice enough to speed up and let us go past it. And friends, not only was it a red Ferrari, not only was it an 80s red Ferrari, it was driven by a gentleman wearing a Detroit Tigers hat who apparently had, he had some facial hair, but I think he also had a fake mustache. And later analysis of the photos that I took showed that while the rear license plate was a legal California license plate, the front license plate was a replica Robin-1 Hawaii license plate. So it was full Magnum cosplay right down to the car, which I applaud.
I wonder if he was on his way to one of those weird party things where, like, someone of our age says, I'm going to have a party.
A Magnum card party?
I want a guy dressed up as Magnum to show up at my party because I'm old and weird and sad. So similar to how, like, at my daughter's parties in 2014, 2015, oh man, did you have people dressed up as Elsa showing up to read the children's stories?
Oh, sure.
So I imagine it's a guy shows up at a 50-year-old man's party and reads him the Magnum PI plot summaries.
Magnum-Mania.com, sure.
Uh-huh. It reminds me of back in New Jersey, between my house and the school, we would pass the home of someone who apparently was a clown who went to children's parties, and they had a big minivan and all, and they were Minikin the clown. And every now and then you would see Minikin out driving, I guess, to a party because they were in full makeup. And all I can think of is Minikin PI now. I would watch that.
My wife's cousin, which I believe makes him my cousin by marriage, is in fact a John Lennon impersonator, or was a John Lennon impersonator. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So there you are. It can be done. There people walk among us who make a comfortable side hustle to living, dressing up as Magnum PI on Interstate 580 or 880.
It was 580 to 80.
Unless there is a Magnum Con that we don't know about.
It was a Sunday morning, and his friend in the passenger seat, while wearing a hat, was not wearing a hat that I found recognizable as a... He was not... The friend was not dressed as a character on Magnum PI, so far as I can tell. Now here, I also want to say my theory, because the party theory is nice, but it makes me think of another possible theory, which is, you know, car people sometimes have those, like, weekend or, like, on a Saturday morning or Sunday morning, there's, like, a parking lot somewhere, and people bring their notable and interesting cars. And there's like a car coffee kind of thing going on. And if you have a red 80s Ferrari, that like the one seen in Magnum PI, perhaps you go to that event and throw on your Detroit Tigers hat, which we all have. I mean, we all have.
Totally.
And your fake mustache, which we all probably have. Who knows?
You can easily whip one up, as I've discovered at many a Halloween party.
So
we used to have a thing in Louisville regularly once a year where it was this, it was a strange combination of car show, home show, and an expo thing. But they would have, you know, come see Kit from Knight Rider and come see the A-Team van. And, you know, and
the stars aren't available, but the cars can't fight us.
Yeah. Yeah. And occasionally you'd have like, see so-and-so from The Young and Restless hanging out with the General Lee.
Oh,
come see Uncle Jesse's death car.
The General Lee from The Young and the Restless?
Yeah, it was a strange show.
It was the weirdest crossover episode ever of The Young and Restless.
Yeah.
Where Roscoe Coltrane comes. Right now, the doctor is getting himself in a whole mess of syrup.
Them old Duke boys got caught in Genoa City.
That's one card, folks. That's card 52.
Wow.
We could do a whole series on this.
Yeah, the 28-part series.
Our next card begins with the back.
Oh.
Wow.
The back is a mysterious gray blob.
Lint? I'm pretty sure that's lint.
Factory overrun.
Is it Selleck's hair?
But what's on the front? Let's see. Oh,
it's Tom.
It's Magnum.
It's the car that license plate belongs to.
Yeah, it really is a Ferrari.
It's card 25. It is of the Ferrari, again, without the roof on it, like in the drawing on the front of the pack.
In the show.
And, gentlemen, I'd like to introduce a segment called Phil and David Describe the Expression on Tom Selleck's Face in This Card.
I would my instant reaction is this is not necessarily from an episode. It's more Selleck going, are we done yet?
Mm-hmm.
Another picture?
Bill,
really?
I would I think the two words that first came to mind when I saw this photo were profound and disinterest.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, David, I think you are right. I think this is a photo from an on-set photographer getting photos for publicity of some sort. And Tom Selleck is waiting between shots and is just impatient. And I have not been on live TV sets very often, but I have been on a live TV set in between shots, and we walked by. It was Babylon 5. It was the last episode. And as we walked by, TV's Bruce Boxleitner was standing there, and he had this exact look on his face. And I believe he said, "Come on, what are we doing here?" And that's as we walked by, and I was like, "Oh, he's impatient."
As with Jason, I was on a set of News Radio. This was the Titanic episode, so it was not before a live studio audience, because that it involved tanks and
complex
and
weird sets.
Complex
that were not
weird
the
sets,
thing.
And at one point, Phil Hartman blew a take, and I was standing right next to
Maura Tierney,
the actress who played Lisa, and she muttered under her breath, "Damn it, Phil!" And for a moment, I panicked because oh God, what did I do? Oh wait, the other guy, the famous one, the one who actually is doing things, and
she knows.
Yeah,
in truth,
this is only very tangentially related, but that seems right up the alley of this podcast. The only other time I've been on a set of a TV show that was shooting, I spoke to one of the actors. And it's absolutely true. These are the only two times, walking past Bruce Boxleitner and many decades before, speaking to his then wife, Melissa Gilbert, on the set of Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, wow.
I captured the set. They're divorced now.
Wow.
But anyway.
Gotta get them all.
Gotta catch them all.
See, now my CMY tapings.
Gotta throw in
tapings,
Mrs. King to pick up the
You
hat
gotta
trick.
Get the hat trick, yeah.
Yeah.
My combination
Jacqueline Smith
of
call
TV
me.
Show tapings, I lucked into tickets to The Late Show when they did a special primetime episode, because the waiting list was forever when Letterman was doing the show. But then they announced, oh, we're going to do a primetime special. So I got to go see The Late Show live at the Ed Sullivan Theater. Fascinating.
Yeah. Bill and I got to see it from folding chairs in the back row of the balcony.
A couple of years ago, I got to see the Colbert version of The Late Show. And it was kind of fascinating because instead of having downtime where people are bored, they wound up delaying the taping for about 45 minutes so that they could totally rewrite the first 20 minutes from top to bottom because whatever news had broken that day, I forget what it was. But then you got a 45-minute concert from John Batiste.
Oh, that's not bad.
And the band. It was great. And then Colbert comes out and does his own warm-up.
Yeah.
So I was like,
Good.
That's pretty good.
Anyhow.
It was striking to see the difference in how they had redesigned the theater. And it's kind of cool. I prefer this version.
To tie a ribbon around this photo, I believe that there's a hierarchy of photographers in this shot where Tom Selleck is regarding the guy taking the publicity photo. The guy taking the trading card photo is way off on a riser or a potato box other thing where it's...
I just sort of assumed that these were all the ones they didn't use from the publicity photo shoot.
Maybe.
But it could be... He's looking at someone else who is talking to him. But he has that look where it's like you can see like his mouth is pulled tight into a line.
I'm telling you, this is the look that Bruce Boxleitner had on his face, too.
Yeah, no,
it's very much the...
That is the look of an actor whose patience is being tried.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Moving on,
this one suggests
strongly that the back of these cards are going to form a picture of Magnum because we've got hairline, people. Hairline.
This is actual hair.
And it's wavy hair.
Yeah. So now we've got some... That's going to be a close-up shot of Tom Selleck there. Hey, card 34.
Hey, he looks quite interested here.
Hey, card 34.
This is good. And with the Al's Automotive and Muffler King Tigers hat on, which is a hat that I own.
I got to get one of those.
It's great. Nobody gets it but you, get it. And that's all that matters.
Available on Amazon, that's right. I believe
it is. So. Yeah.
There are a couple of different ones.
Yeah. Yeah. It's...
It's kind of amazing.
Well, there's the one for the fans of Magnum PI and the one for fans of the Chinese typewriter.
Yes.
Yeah. That's all two of them.
What is the Venn diagram of that look like?
Yeah. It's a small dot and then
it's a little nipple in the middle of a giant boob, I guess.
Yeah. So this is he's wearing the Al's hat. He's wearing a tank top. He's on the beach and there is somebody he's talking to just off camera because we see some hair. But not who that person is.
Some hair.
And this feels very much like they are either rehearsing or shooting a scene, and the photographer has snapped a snap of Tom Selleck with his mouth partially open, as if perhaps speaking dialogue.
And it is definitely the King Kamehameha Club volleyball team shirt.
Yep.
Which I like. I like the design.
Got the palm trees and the water in the background. This
it could be by the tide pool.
Having only looked at two of, or I guess three of these so far, it feels very much like this is going to be a series of not glossy, sort of like the shot we use to promote it in TV Guide. It feels very much more like candids from the set.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That, as I recall. That's pretty much
that
it.
That is
yes.
a theme
yes.
of this. Anyway, so
I have not gone through
We have
them,
Magnum again, and he's got the tank top on.
Although, I should say, now again, the first third of the cards tell a story, so the fronts of the cards are going to be somewhat related to what's on the back, and then the other 44 cards are these random candids with puzzle pieces on the back.
Our next card, the back, is the other side of his head, I think, and things in the background.
Yeah.
Some bouquet.
Out of focus.
Little bouquet things in the background, but his...
My God, it's full of stars.
Oh, my goodness. The front of this card, it's 37.
It's the next one.
It's moments later. He's in the exact same thing, but now he's sort of leaning over, holding a woman's hand, and we see...
Yeah, he's talking to a lady. He's not talking to Higgins or anyone like that.
And she has, it looks like, a veil. What episode is this from?
Judith Chapman as the woman in black? I bet that's what that is.
Mm. Did she visit him when he was in that particular getup? I don't. While my knowledge of Magnum is vast, I do not like chronicle what is Tom Selleck wearing at every moment every episode.
As I recall, there's one moment where he does interact with the ghost version instead of the current woman who is pretending to be the ghost.
It is either that episode or a wealthy widow has hired him. Yeah. Because that is TV code for widow. Wealth. Someone in mourning. Yeah.
Wearing the
Magnum,
wearing
you that, need to that, find that who veil. Killed my husband. I don't know why Katharine Hepburn is appearing on the show.
He drowned in the calla lilies.
Well, the Black Orchid is season one.
Oh. I bet Orchid, that was it, yes.
I bet that's it. Mm-hmm. I am calling up the Black Orchid now. Just to see if I might be able to. Oh, it's not going to let me see it because I'm screen sharing and it's afraid that I'm going to pirate this episode. Mm. Well, let's say it's probably from that episode.
Yeah.
The Black Orchid.
We'll follow up in the next episode.
Or there'll be a little audio insert with Jason going, it was indeed the Black Orchid. Or if it's not, then this entire recording will be burned.
Yeah. Because... Now we've got a story. Something else. So this is to describe what the back of this card is. It's two palm trees bracketing, and there's a Magnum PI registered trademark, or no, just a trademark, not registered. And then there's an illustration of Magnum leaning against one of the palm trees, and his head is next to another palm tree. There's a thing of Magnum punching a guy. There's a Ferrari, and then there's babes.
Oh,
there's
that's
a couple
what
of babes.
He's doing.
He's punching
you know,
a guy.
If I kind of go a little bit out of focus and the distance I am from the monitor, it looks like he's riding a rocking horse.
He's not. He is punching.
He's punching a guy. I see it now.
Oh, yeah. Well, Magnum famously rode rocking horses. That was used in the season four opening credits.
Oh, my God, Magnum, you've stolen my rocking horse.
Oh, my God, you've stolen Sir Hopsalong.
And the answer is given here. The copyright is 81 and 83. By Universal, so these are undoubtedly 83 era cards.
Yeah,
a couple years into the show.
I think the photos are probably 81 and the cards are 83.
Yep, that sounds about
right. I would
right.
like to take issue with the text here.
Yes, now it's in the middle, surrounding this illustration surrounds a space where you can put a fortune cookie or Magnum's baseball statistics or something else, and instead there is text. Should I read the text?
Please do.
I was gonna finish off with a dramatic reading of the whole story, except for card number 9.
Well, we can't. Okay, but this is number 20 of 22. It says I was ready, and they weren't going to get away. I pulled out my trusty 45. I'll note no dot before the 45, which is wrong, and started into the building. Number 20 of 22.
Guys, we've watched a few Magnum PI episodes. Does this sound like something Magnum would say? Sure, Magnum's not above using firearms. He'll do it, but he doesn't. Oh, my trusty 45. Oh, I never go
trusty
anywhere
without it. I can't imagine him doing a Magnum voiceover. It's like, I know what you're thinking.
Yeah. He would be more inclined to talk about the Houston Colt 45s, the predecessor to the Houston Astros, rather than his trusty 45. So.
And he would talk about how living in paradise is a renewal every morning when he wakes up. But he faces mortality every day.
No one is being called a turkey here. So no.
Or a jerk.
I would predict that the guy he punched is a turkey.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Though it looks a little like James Brolin is actually doing the punching.
My guess
is that the person who wrote this is not an officially sanctioned Magnum writer, but has gone off script.
Yes, the Don Russ person. Somebody locked in
Bruce
the Don
Chervy.
Russ offices in Memphis, Tennessee.
When you're not looking up fun facts about Carlton Fisk, you're writing Magnum fan fiction.
Card 20.
Oh.
This is Magnum with a gun, holding on to a palm tree's trunk, and there's
it's an odd pose.
It's an action scene. He's sort of crouched, like perhaps he's running or has been running and might be ready to shoot a guy.
Well, his trusty 45 at his side.
Yeah. Is that actually a 45?
I don't know enough about guns, but it does not look like what I imagine a 45 to
I'm
look
pretty
like.
Sure, it's not.
Based on this one scene in Dirty Harry,
he's wearing his jeans. He's wearing like a polo here.
Yeah, it's the navy polo with the white collar.
Yeah.
It looks like he's actually been pushed into the tree and is using it to steady himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know what that is behind him. Are those like railroad tracks?
It, or a piano bench? I can't tell.
Something back there.
Magnum, for the last time, you've ruined the Anglo-Hawaiian Philharmonic's performance. Oh, God.
Why are you dressed as Snidely Whiplash?
Here's another card. Okay. This is number 10 of 22. Higgins, you amaze me. How do you know about these things? You never leave the house. Are you some kind of mind reader or something? I asked.
Okay. This assumes far more admiration for Higgins's stories and tales than again Magnum shows. Once again, I must question the Don Russ cards writer's understanding of the Magnum oeuvre.
Why, yes, Magnum. When I was in the Kenyan campaign, I was actually performing as a mind reader to entertain the troops, and.
Next is number 10. This is Magnum sitting on a couch with a brick white brick wall behind him, and he's got his index finger extended as if saying, "Aha, but wait, Higgins, no, you don't understand." And this feels a little more like an authentic thing from an episode to me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Maybe very slightly much so. Off from the camera, but still from like the film camera.
If you've lost count, by the way, I just want to point out it's all pictures of Magnum except for the Ferrari's bumper.
Well, those are the two biggest stars of the show, Jason.
Surely. They're on the cover of the pack of gum and
to
cards.
To use the baseball card metaphor, there are no Biff Pocoroba's or Preston Hannah's in this pack so far. This is all killer, no filler.
No Mickey Klutz's.
No.
And the son of the Donruss owner who got the complete set was like, "Why are there no cards of Higgins?"
Indeed. Indeed.
He was upset.
And then we have a poster. This is another M.
Well, this is the same one from before.
It may be. It may be. I don't know.
I don't know. It's a different card.
It's a different card, but it was the same back poster.
But the other M had a little yellow behind it.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here. Anyway, this is card
24. I think there are two posters.
And
maybe it's Mr. Magnum. Who knows?
Everyone, we have broken the streak. This is a picture of Rick Wright on the telephone.
I take it back. Here's the Biff Pocoroba.
With his shirt open most of the way down.
Much like Biff Pocoroba's car in 1977.
There's some adjustable lounge chairs behind him. and then a wall, and then...
So the question is he on the phone with Magnum or Ice Pick or, you know, the running down plates?
He's running down plates.
Yeah,
I think it's a lady he doesn't want to date who is making a date with him.
Yeah.
It's that weird porch office that he had in the first season.
Yeah, you can take a computer out there and do work out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you wanted to.
It's portable.
Okay. So we got Rick now. One Rick. One Ferrari, one Rick. All the other ones are Magnum. Next, again, some hairline, Magnum hairline. And this one, this is a good one. This card's been munched a little bit. It's number 35.
He's touching the back fender bumper
of the Ferrari.
There's another car in there, and one assumes that there was a fender bender.
This is the one where the little old lady runs into the back of the car.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm disturbed that I'm remembering these.
See? No, that's a sense memory, dude.
I love it. So he's just checking, and boy, don't you want a card that takes you back? Also, I think this is where the gum was.
Yeah, that's totally the gum.
Yeah.
There's a rectangular
There is a lot of gum residue visible in the photo.
It's stuck to the card. It's discolored slightly.
That's why you never open the pack.
No. Oh, there it is. There's the gum.
Oh, it's horribly discolored.
There's the gum.
Oh, this is like the photo they show you to tell you not to smoke.
Yeah.
It looks like a tortilla.
Yeah.
It's like patterned. Like
it's like a pita chip.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is what Higgins' lungs look like after all those cigarettes.
Yeah.
Children.
But I will say, I am impressed at our trading card gum forensic examination. Yeah. That, was, that was quite impressive.
Check the website or check your podcast player to see the horror of the
Please.
Of the gum.
No, burn everything. Gouge out your eyes so that you may never see what I'm looking upon.
No one will be seated after the horrific gum.
God, damage. It looks like burnt ham.
Well, that's eight cards, which is all that I think I have.
Okay.
I think they were eight to a pack.
So so we were looking at the cards and then the things on the back, I guess.
Yeah.
So for the wonderful story on the cards, mm-hmm. and I'll skim quickly. We have Magnum. It starts with Magnum asleep in bed.
That's a promising start.
And I had planned to lie in bed and watch cartoons. Just then the phone rang. I knew it would mean work. Sure enough, it was Higgins.
Mm.
Card number two, Higgins. Magnum, he said, just because it's the weekend doesn't mean that we are supposed to stop fighting crime. Get yourself over here fast. We've got some important business.
What are they, Batman and Robin?
Yeah. I guess Higgins is like Sherlock
Alfred.
Holmes. He's Sherlock Holmes.
The third card, Magnum, topless and wet with a towel over his neck.
Mm.
I crawled out of bed and took a quick shower, still not believing Higgins would mess up my weekend. After all, those same crooks would still be there on Monday. Now, card number four, it's Magnum in a green shirt and jeans in what looks like a tiny Renault or maybe it's a Volvo. It's boxy. Since it was Saturday, I decided to take my own personal car. It hadn't been driven in a while.
No,
boy, is it cramped.
Because it doesn't exist. Magnum's personal car.
There were episodes where he drove the bad boxy bad car.
That is true.
Boy, is it cramped. ... I had forgotten how small it is.
Mm.
Now he's sitting in the Ferrari in card number five. One of the joys of being a famous detective is that on weekdays, Higgins lets me drive a bright, high-powered sports car. Apparently, we don't have the trademark on the name.
No.
Card number six is Higgins doing the...
Or an understanding of how the Magnum P.I. show works in any ways. Okay,
here's Higgins in his martial arts pose from the opening credits.
Yeah, lovely.
When I arrived at Higgins...
Mm-hmm.
When I arrived at Higgins, he was outside practicing his karate. We should always stay in good shape to fight crime, he said.
Oh, obsessed with fighting crime.
Very Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
Here on card number seven is Magnum running from the tidal pool. Before we get started on our next case, Before we get started on our next case, I want you to jog four times around the house, said Higgins. We must stay fit. Okay. Card number eight. Higgins sitting at his desk with his hands folded, looking very contemplative. Exhausted, I flopped in a chair at Higgins' desk. Okay, Higgins, what's so important that it interrupts my weekend? Besides, now I'm too tired to do anything. Card number nine, I have to...
That sounds a lot like Magnum, honestly.
It does. Card number nine, I have to refer to the trading card database.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
On the front is it's a still from Adelaide, because there he is in the Da Nang ball cap with the horse behind him. Well, it seems there are some crooks down at the dock, and they are trying to steal a big load of pineapples, said Higgins. I listened intently.
Oh, this is like Encyclopedia Brown level stuff.
Yeah, oh boy.
So now we have card...
Bugs Meany, you'll get yours.
Yeah.
Card 10 with him sitting with the brick wall and pointing. Higgins, you amaze me. How do you know about these things? You never leave the house. Are you some kind of mind reader or something?
Yes, we got that one.
This is the part where we come in.
Yeah.
Card 11, Higgins sitting in a big tropical wicker chair. You know, the big kind of round giant chairs that I know there's a name for them and I can't think of them. Sampan chairs? No, that's not it.
I know this because my wife mentioned the name last week when I was going, oh man, I could use a chair like that.
But he's dramatically lit, and he's holding a large jewel, and he's clearly trying to hypnotize someone. Well, Magnum, to be perfectly honest with you, I have a secret charm that I can stare into and actually see these crooks in action and predict what evil they plan to do.
Very much like a Magnum episode now.
Wow, why didn't they do that during the series? Because that
this is uncanny.
Solved a lot of problems.
Card 12, Magnum on his surf ski. I think I'll get on my boat and paddle over there and see what's going on. It's a little closer than driving. Besides, it's a nice day. Now we see Higgins with his camera slung over his shoulder. He's out on the beach behind the house. I was halfway across the harbor when I heard Higgins calling on the loudspeaker. The loudspeaker? On your way back, Magnum, bring me a hamburger with pickles, onions, and a slice of pineapple. I said, okay. Now Magnum is climbing up onto a boat at a marina. When I arrived at the docks, I looked everywhere for the crooks, and they were not to be found. Probably at lunch, I thought. Then I remembered Higgins' burger. Now, what did he want on that thing? Man, the suspense.
Man, there's so many crimes to keep, so many clues to keep.
The case of the desired hamburger.
Now, apparently, Magnum has changed his clothing since climbing on the boat, because now he's walking past boats and a car. I guess I had better call Higgins so I can find out what he wanted on his burger. I reached in my pocket for a dime for the phone. Would you believe? Not a cent. What is he, Maxwell Smart? Now Higgins looking dubious.
I hate to interrupt this narrative, but I've been informed by my sources are telling this reporter that those chairs are called peacock chairs. Peacock chairs.
Peacock chairs.
Because of the feathers that...
Right, and the fanning out of...
And the fact that the NBC invented them. And has them at their studios.
So, okay. So we have... Higgins sitting on the lawn in front of Robin's Nest looking dubious. After Higgins finished his lunch, I said, look, Higgins, we are going to need some help finding these crooks. I looked everywhere. How about TC and his helicopter? Good idea. I'll call him, he said.
Higgins is going to call TC.
That's right.
Yes.
Because they're buddies. So now we see TC in the cockpit of the chopper with a yellow shirt. This might be from the bird episode.
Whoops.
TC picked me up and we flew over the dock area. Look around, Magnum, and find these crooks so I can get back home. After all, it's Saturday morning.
I have cartoons to watch. The
didn't
Super
pay
Friends
me
are
any
on.
Gas money. Now we see Magnum. I guess he could be in the other side of the chopper, and he's got binoculars. Just then I spotted something. Hold on, TC, I said. There is the outlaw's hideout right behind that travel agency. Pineapples are everywhere. Drop me off at the dock.
Well, that's a clue.
Now,
also,
now
outlaw's
that...
hideout would be a wonderful name for a bar.
pineapples are everywhere.
Yes.
But Magnum's
Well, that would
spotting...
be the slogan of the bar. Come on down to outlaw's hideout. The pineapples are everywhere.
I mean, Magnum spotting pineapples from the chopper.
Wednesday night is pineapple night.
That's, you know, almost
He's a pro.
Plausible. Yeah. So now we have card 19, so we're almost done. He is leaping off of a boat into the water, still in jeans.
19 is also the number of listeners we have left.
Yeah. Wouldn't you know, TC dropped me off over a boat just as it pulled away. In the water I went head first. I managed to get out. And I ran down the dock to the outlaw's hideout.
I would be very happy if the card was Roger Mosley doing the hand.
I was, yes. He brushes his hands. That would be perfect.
Yeah.
Now we have leaning against the palm tree with the gun. I was ready and they weren't going to get away. I pulled my trusty .45, started into the building. Now he has changed shirts again. Oh my God. Now he's in a green polo shirt and he's got a gun. I carefully opened the door and stepped in. No one was there, so I decided to read a few travel folders while I waited for the crooks.
Okay.
Okay. And the last card, he's back in his blue polo shirt. and someone is coming by a window. I heard footsteps outside. I knew then I was about to capture the head crook, and I would have the rest of the weekend to relax.
So many great mysteries end with, and now I'm about to solve the case.
That is a classic Magnum story.
Amazing. I really enjoy in Murder on the Orient Express when Perrault goes, I know who did it, and then it ends immediately.
End. Perrault looked forward to the rest of his weekend. The end.
Now I can enjoy this train ride.
You kid, but I had the Fleer poster of Albert Finney from 1974 on my bedroom wall.
Oh, my God.
Sure. this brings me to our last segment of the evening, which is called, Did Phil Get Murdered in a Bathroom at an Airport in Hawaii? Phil, did you get murdered?
No, Jason, I did not get murdered. Thank God. Either the Honolulu airport bathroom, where I was there to change planes, nor in the Kona airport bathroom, where I was there to visit the Big Island of Hawaii.
Yes. Well, that's good. I'm glad you went to Hawaii.
Yes.
It's always special.
Always delightful. And the best thing about it, the place we rented, they had a Roku. And Roku has a Magnum PI channel. And if you ever just wanted to... If you think watching Magnum P.I. is fun, boy, watching Magnum P.I. in Hawaii.
Yeah, that's the best.
Really weirdly enjoyable. We were all, even though I'm all, I've seen this one. I must keep watching. Yeah, but we
open up a Kona longboard lager, sit back and watch your Magnum P.I.
We did many actual things that did not involve me watching Magnum P.I. episodes that I could have watched back on the mainland, but no, it was quite enjoyable.
Just a little, that's the, I what I like to say is that whenever any of us goes to Hawaii, and David's never been to Hawaii, so it's basically me and Phil, a message goes out to the Magnum podcast text message. Indicating whether we have survived the bathrooms at the airports, because you should not eat the snow in Hawaii.
Because I worry about you guys.
Yeah, we could get kidnapped, you know, or murdered in a bathroom in Hawaii, and you would be. I mean, wow. Although, what a way to go! At least you would. At least you get to Hawaii.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. Yeah. I mean, that's what's going to happen when I eventually get.
Yeah,
there.
You will be murdered.
Not like that poor son of a bitch who never gets to Montana in the Hunt for Red October.
Exactly right.
That's right.
But I'd like to introduce a segment I want to call Phil proposes a road trip for his Magnum PI buddies.
Oh yeah, you know the guy with the Ferrari?
No, I don't.
We could find him and hire him.
Is actually a trip that's much closer to David, where he won't have to fly for quite as far. Still far.
Yes, yes.
As I was staying in Hawaii last week and watching Magnum PI on a Roku and living the Magnum life of dirtbaggery, I thought... I remember reading once about a Magnum PI suite at a hotel in Europe. And indeed, there is one. The Detective Hotel in, I believe it's, I'm going to mess up the pronunciation, so David, correct me. Ertot? Or Erot? Erot. It's in Normandy in France. It's the area that it's known for is basically really big in the Arsène Lupin fandom, because I think it's...
Etretat,
because it's where I think the author of the Lupin books came from.
That's exactly right.
And they have a big Lupin fest there. And if you watch the series Lupin on Netflix, a very good series, mind you.
And you should.
And you should. Series one ends with them going to this town in Normandy, and hijinks ensue. But there is also a hotel there called the Detective Hotel, where they have suites named after famous detectives. And there is... a Magnum PI suite. Let me tell you about it, fellas. It has Hawaiian decor. It has one double bed, one single bed, so three of us could live quite comfortably there. You and David would have to share the double bed in your matching pajamas with the footies. But it's a two-floor room, the Magnum suite.
Ooh.
And if I'm reading the website correct, if we were to go there on July 4th, the date Magnum likes to be alone because of his father, as we know from Home by the Sea, which I watched while in Hawaii, it's only €100 only 100 euros to stay in the Magnum PI suite at the Hotel Detective. I know David might be tempted to shack up at the Columbo suite, the only other American detective who's so honored. But
I mean, it is tempting, but there is also the Emma Peel comfort double.
Well,
which so anyhow, very comfortable. I'm proposing.
Go ahead. There is a Clouseau suite.
There is.
Which I would not stay there because you will get injured.
Yes.
Yeah. You just.
A guy keeps leaping in and trying to.
Yeah.
Hurt you.
Bert Kwok just appears and tries to kill you.
No good. So I'm proposing the Magnum podcast road trip where we go to the Hotel Detective and record an episode where we live the high life.
My biggest problem with the Columbo suite, it's non-smoking.
What? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, the missus will never stand for that.
No.
Mrs. Columbo.
I mean, Dog will be okay because Dog gets all the secondhand smoke. But
yeah. All right, that brings us to the end of our very special episode of Magnum Podcast.
Oh, I do have a very quick segment.
Oh, David. Okay.
It's
it brings us to the end. We've been brought to the end, but here at the end there's a segment.
You know, it's end credits. Yes. A little book report. If you are in the mood for a time loop love story.
Oh, right. Yep.
This is a book called A Quantum Love Story by New York Times bestselling author Mike Chen. It's actually pretty entertaining. I'm quite enjoying it. But it is filled with quantum leap in jokes, right? References to names and things. And I thought
a Donald
that's
P.
cute.
Belisario show, we should point out. For,
exactly.
Well, listeners who are just into Magnum and not the full Belisario verse.
Oeuvre. Well, it's funny you should mention that because at one point he goes, "Oh, I got this pastry from Belisario's. It's the best bakery in town." And I went, "Oh, that's cute. Yeah, all right." And apparently the science fiction MacGuffin that triggers the whole time loops is the Hawk Accelerator, Hawk with an E, like Stringfellow Hawk from Airwolf, a Don Belisario show. Mm-hmm. The genius doctor is Dr. Al Beckett, not Sam Beckett with Al, but Al Beckett. So I'm waiting for Sam to show up.
Sure.
There's got to be a Gold Monkey reference and a Magnum reference in here somewhere.
Tales of the Gold Monkey or GTFO is what I say.
Yeah, I am like highly attuned to it now because I'm like it's almost getting in the way of reading the story for itself because I'm just like there's got to be another one. There's so many Belisario references. But it's an entertaining time loop love story. But there you go. If you want to read a time loop love story filled with pointless Belisario references, this is the book for
you. That's the book for you. And
read it as you're walking on the beaches of Normandy on your way back to the Hotel Detective.
I hope that it ends with the detective who's trying to solve the problem of the time loop saying, "Aha, I figured it out." The
end. And then it just ends.
Yep. That's it. I know I'm going to catch this crook, and that gives me the rest of my weekend to relax. That's Magnum PI. And that's this episode of Magnum Podcast. We'll be back sometime later to talk about episodes, but this was about cards and other things not related to cards or Magnum PI, except only vaguely.
If people want to send us pictures of trading cards that they have, Jason, where should they send them
to? Send those. I'm glad you asked, Phil. It's Magnum at theincomparable.com. Also, if you'd like to recommend episodes for us to watch next season, now is your chance, Magnum at theincomparable.com. We love to
also
get
if
those
you
rings.
Run a if you run a shady SEO operation, you also should send things to Magnum at theincomparable.com because you already are, based on my spam filter.
Yeah, there's a lot of spam in there, unfortunately. Yeah. That's just how it is.
And
that's
and
the
I should say, you know, all things considered, knowing our listeners, if you are that guy driving around California in a Ferrari with a Robin 1 license plate, let us know because we'd want to get you the right help. Yeah, we really do.
No, I'd want him on the podcast. I want to know his secrets.
Yeah, well, it's California license plate 5RAA778 there. I've done it. Find that man.
You got to get Rick to run the plate.
Yeah, I'll get Rick an ice pick to take care of it for me. All right. We will be back sometime to watch more episodes of Magnum PI. Magnum at theincomparable.com to tell us things. And until next time, gentlemen, bye, guys.
Oh, man, they have a Nestor Burma suite.
I will trade you 3 Biff Pokorobas for 1 Larry Minetti.
Larry Minetti is 3 Biff Pokorobas in a trench coat.